AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Twins baseball. You know what? I don't care. I don't care it's cold. I freaking love baseball. Although, Eric, one time I was at, it was like early May. I took the kids on out to Twins Royals. This was, Twins Toronto. It was a freezing day. I'm guessing it was like 37 degrees. And I am out on the right field line. So down first base line. And I out there, here comes a foul ball. I've got a child on my lap who is like three. Caught it bare. Just hit it. Now, I want to remind you, it's like 37 degrees. So my hand is not warm. Here comes a, 120 mile an hour hard rock object. Smacks me in the hand. I could not hold on to it, but I did prevent my kid from getting beaned with this thing. We were way down the line, too. That was a heck of a foul ball. My hands swelled up for 2 days. And, of course, nothing I enjoyed more than the drunk 30-year-old dude going, "Ball! Got the ball! Look at me! Got a foul ball!" You know, my hand is throbbing like a cartoon hand. Beat red. Just that hurts, by the way. Just my kids play my oldest son plays baseball. I've caught a ball barehanded that he threw at me. Duh, that hurt. So yeah, that stung a little bit. Are you a fan of the baseball?
Not really.
All right.
Too boring for me.
Continuing the trend of producers here that are not a big. Well, it's not boring. What are you talking about? I love baseball for this reason: is that it's a stat geek's dream. It's just there are so many statistics you can throw in there, and then. Understanding the game and how it's played. I mean, everything, you know, the pitch comes in, could be a strike, could be a ball, could go out into the outfield, could be a home run. Everyone has to play. The guy has to field it and throw it. And last night's game, Miguel Sano threw for the final out from third base over to home. It's snowing like crazy in Pittsburgh. They get the win 7-4 last night. And he throws this ball. People don't understand how hard that is to do, to basically catch a ball and fire it on a dime across to where it doesn't miss. I mean, and with power, just amazing. I mean, just little things like that. That's what I love about the game. So boring, nothing. You know, I'm really excited. I should have taken the day off. My soon-to-be girlfriend, Dessa, is singing the national anthem. I love her so much. She is just, what a Minnesota treasure. First of all, spoiler alert, don't tell my wife about the girlfriend thing. But I adore her. Her new album is just fantastic. Go get her new album, absolutely. And that is one of the tougher songs to sing. So I would love to hear her rendition of that song as the Twins play the Seattle Mariners. I bet they're happy to come to Minnesota in early April. The game we're talking about, it sounds like that Sunday game is going to be brutal. I think they're saying is game time temperature could be like 26, 27 degrees.
Oh yeah.
Good luck. Welcome to town. Enjoy. Thank you for being here. Good news. By the end of next week, we're going to be up in the 50s again. So we should be back where we're supposed to be. 952-946-6205. And I do love Dessa. Go get the album. It is very good. All right. Two stories to start you off with today. A judge has dismissed the defamation lawsuit filed by Minneapolis Police Chief John Delmonico against former Mayor Betsy Hodges over text message she sent to former Police Chief Jeanette Harteau in April. Hodges blocks Harteau's decision to appoint Delmonico, the former police union leader, as inspector of the 4th Precinct, and the dispute between the chief and the mayor over the appointment was carried out mostly by text message. Hennepin District Judge Jacqueline Regis, who wrote the final decision Tuesday, that Hodges had good reason to discuss the appointment candidacy candidly with Harteau. The messages were integral to the performance of her job, and therefore her text messages are immune from defamation claims. So, you know, wait a minute here. So because for whatever reason, either the mayor or the former chief felt as if text messages was the best way to correspond between the two heads of their individual organization, Those make them official text. I can say this because I have been parts of, you know, city government, and anytime there's a communication, technically that, you know, even if it's, you know, your water committee, someone asking, are you going to be going to the golf outing via an email or being a Facebook Messenger post? There's a lot of rules about these things nowadays. So it's the fact that she was, you know, they had them. It's not defamation. It's official transcripts. And Delmonico, once again, didn't you do Pointergate? Weren't you the guy that was out there saying the mayor should know better? The guy that made Minneapolis-St. Paul internationally the number one story trending internationally because you were trying to argue pointing is a gang sign. Wow. Still. Yeah, that not a huge surprise that one was tossed. I would say that. Another story here, and this one, a New Hope woman with a long list of drunken driving convictions, outstanding warrants in three states, is in deep trouble with the law again after police in Riverside, Illinois, found her passed out behind the wheel at a gas station in the suburb of Chicago. Tasha Schleicher, S-C-H-L-E-I-C-H-E-R, Schleicher, I'm going to go with, was charged Wednesday with two counts of felony aggravated drunken driving, two counts of misdemeanor drunken driving, no vehicle insurance driving while license revoked for drunken driving, and transportation of an open alcohol while driving. Schleicher, 41, was arrested last October in Minnesota. At that time, the mother of five had five of her children in the vehicle, and she drove drunk, veered into a median cable barrier on highway speeds near Rochester. It was found at the scene breastfeeding her baby. Wow. In Wednesday's case, Schleicher was sitting in her 2005 Nissan Maxima with keys in the ignition and the engine running at a gas station. It looked as if she was attempting to put kerosene, not gasoline, in her car, said the Riverside Police Chief Thomas Wetzel. Officers noticed that she was highly intoxicated, had bloodshot, glassy eyes, and emitted a strong odor of alcohol from her breath. Officers also observed the open bottle of Crown Royal. Wow. Open bottle in the car. Witnesses later say she was drinking from the bottle before officers arrived. Wetzel said she told the officers she had 11 children, couldn't find them. Minnesota Child Protective Services took custody of her children due to the October DWI arrest. Schleicher also told officers at the scene that she was pregnant, bleeding, and having a miscarriage. She was given a pregnancy test at the hospital. The results found her statement was fictitious. Weitzel said Schleicher's previous scrapes with the law include drunken driving arrests in Kentucky, Wisconsin, Indiana, California, Oregon, and Minnesota. Schleicher has a warrant out in three out-of-state warrants, Nebraska, Idaho, and Oregon. Court records show this is one of the worst impaired driving arrests our agency has ever met. Weitzel said Schleicher's story, a history of six prior DUIs in six states and three outstanding warrants from various other states, speaks to her transient nature. We've talked about this before. There have been, we can have a discussion on whether or not the scarlet letter A for alcoholism is bandied about too quickly when an individual, in the first time they ever have a traffic incident, gets pulled over for DWI, loses their job, loses this. I mean, we have a pretty harsh standard when it comes to this stuff nowadays. And part of the reason why our standard is harsher today is because we tolerated this stuff way too much for many, many years. The reality, and alcoholism is a horrible addiction. It truly is. It's something that many people are affected by, whether they're the person who's the alcoholic or if it's a family member who has to watch a loved one drink themselves to death. It is a truly horrible thing to go through. But we always can have the discussion on what do you do, say, after the sixth DWI. You know, it's clear that the person is not going to, they're not going to stop trying to drive to the liquor store and get booze or drive around with an open bottle of Crown Royal in the car. Wow. You know, it's, You're not going to get that. And so I guess I they're not going to stop. And the question then becomes, for the safety of the public, what do you do? Pray? Hope? You know, I would make an argument that, you know, it's a shame, you know, it's a shame that we have people that drink themselves to death. But I think that there's a responsibility to make sure that if we're getting 6, 7, 10, 12 DWIs or DUIs, that we are doing something more than just saying, now we're going to give you the real stern finger wagging. I, you know, there's no easy answers to this, but this is clearly a person who, the minute she gets out, will likely try to find a car and booze. And those are two things should not go together, because one of these days she's going to kill someone. And yes, when she kills someone with a car because she was drinking and driving, yes, then we have harsh penalties for that. But you would think that we would have harsh penalties already, even if they weren't hitting cars. Other people, I don't know, especially after the 6th, 7th case. Tom is in New Brighton. Tom, welcome on into the show.
Hi. Hey, yeah, I think when you said that she had kids in the car, ran up on a guide wire or whatever in Rochester, southern Minnesota, remind me, in Arizona, the DUI law is if you get caught with a DUI, anything is 5 years mandatory if you have kids in the car. No questions asked. You just go to jail, because that one, you know, you're just asking for trouble.
You're clearly endangering the kids' lives. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Well, you're endangering the kids' lives, but you're endangering my kids' lives, whether, you know, driving like that. It just, it's a horrible thing. And, you know, yeah,
now,
5 years minimum, start off. Right, something like that.
Thanks, sure. Tom. I appreciate the phone call, Tom. I'm not sure. I have zero doubt there are some states that have fairly harsh penalties on this. But he's right. I mean, it's, you know, the reason why we do treat this harshly is because there are plenty of people that kill people on the first time they were drinking and driving. The first time they were caught is the time that their car is in the ditch. They're wondering what the hell happened. They had a few too many drinks and they have killed someone. That does happen. Was it done in Atlanta? A tour bus going down, I think it was to the Masters, rolled over. The guy was DUI. The guy's running a tour bus. This is his job. There are plenty of people that are out there that, you know, if that tour bus hits your car, hits your little Mazda Miata or something like that, you're done. You are done. You know, but I guess at the same time, it's, you know, how this person, for her own benefit, you think to yourself, throw her into some place where there is no booze for a year and let her mind start to come back to freaking reality at the very least. I don't know what you do. I mean, because I already know. Health professionals, I know. Matt, locking people up because they have a disease, because alcoholism is a disease, that's not necessarily the problem. Yeah, but there's the problem that when it comes to the disease starts crossing over into a public safety issue. And that's, like I said, the 6th, 7th, 8th time. And I'm saying you lock them up on the first time if they get a DUI, you know. But at the same time, if you have someone like this, I mean, how do you allow that person to go back into the car? How? How do you do that? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we come back, I got a treat for you. We have a new entry into the Minnesota governor's race. Oh, my God. He's going to do it. I'll talk about that when we return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Big up, pulling my side.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
With spring, it's car wash season. Thank goodness for the Luther Advantage program from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I save 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, but I also get big discounts on car washes. And with free 2 years of maintenance with every new Toyota purchased, I can get my oil change and spring service done with the best service and maintenance department at Rudy Luther Toyota. Clear your spring checklist with great service from Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is a perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week, offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy Center event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates available, located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday where I'll interview former Minneapolis City Council member Don Samuels about his work as a community activist, entrepreneur, and now executive director of MicroGrants, a nonprofit that provides $1,000 grants for humans attempting to change their lives for the better. You'll be inspired, I promise. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective changing on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. All right. Let me prep myself here. This is according to CNBC. Republican Tim Pawlenty is going to officially declare his run for Minnesota governor. Wow. Wow. Really? No. Really? Really? You remember you left this house in the state of a frat house after a massive kegger. Oh, and you shifted the education budget into the future fiscal cycle. Really? Really you're going to do this? Really? I'm going to stop. I'll get to the rest of the story here in a second. I'm going to stop for a second. I can't figure this out because, well, no, I've put a lot of thought to it because initially I was like, why would you do this? I mean, you are going to be one of the easiest candidates to run against. For God's sakes, just go pull up his comments on gay marriage, you know, from when he was governor. Talk about his his whole spiel about anti-light rail that he did back even when he was, I think, was a House member back then. His budgetary, the budget stuff, the disaster that was the Department of Transportation, his own comments where he said, how can you support the troops unless you 100% support the president, which he said under W. Bush and refused to revisit under President Obama. I'd sure love to have him, Mr. I'm going to try to carve out my own niche. I would love to have him say that again. So you're saying you have to completely and totally support Trump if you support the troops? Because I'm going to call bullcrap on that one right now. My opinion is that he is going to try to run for president in either 2020 or 2024. That he desperately wants to run for president in either one of those years, probably 2024, because I don't know. He needs a win. He has no chance on the planet of usurping Trump in 2020. I mean, as a matter of fact, I will say this. if he were to become the governor, I have very little doubt he would not win this. I mean, I'm not ready to make the call like I have in the Klobuchar-Neuberger race, which, by the way, once again, our call here officially, Amy Klobuchar is once again the senator for the state of Minnesota. All right, I'm done with that one. I'm not ready to make it completely, but if he did win, he would give himself a lot of ups as far as the Republican who won in a Democratic state in a year where Republicans weren't winning. And he'd be able to present himself, because that's what it clearly seems to me to what's going on. He's trying to position himself for another presidential run. He can't do that unless he wins something. So I'll run for governor again because they all love me here. I'll get back to this in a second. Let's get Dawn from Minneapolis on in. She wanted to chime in on the drinking and driving story. Welcome on in, Dawn.
Hi, Matt. I just wanted to remark that I have no patience with drunk drivers anymore. I think they should have the book thrown at them. My father was killed by a drunk driver. My brother was killed by a serial drunk driver who went on to have many, many, many more arrests in various states. And these people should not be behind the wheel, and they should not be given chance after chance after chance. I think once is enough. Well, it's just very lucky if they don't kill somebody. It is devastating to families. My family was absolutely devastated.
I'm very sorry about what happened to you, Dawn. And what was this the same accident this happened where you lost your father?
No, these were separate events. And, years apart.
And then when the was your brother had passed away when he was by the serial drinking drinking and driving individual, they didn't put him in jail right away. He was able to go out.
Oh,
and drive
he
more?
Went to jail for a couple of years, and he would send us letters bemoaning his fate and wanting us to, you know, talk to the judge for him. And it was just disgusting. And then he was eventually let out, and my mother has found that he has gone on to drink and drive and be arrested in other states. And this is a professional. He's a doctor. Mm-hmm. And
well, that might explain how he didn't get a long jail term with the crimes. I mean, he was able to get a good legal team in there. Dawn, I am so sorry for your losses here, and you're the exact reason why I am like, you can't allow this sort of behavior to go on unchecked and just sort of wag a finger at someone and say, promise you're not going to do it again, because these people who are chronic alcoholics that desperately want to get their drink on and don't care, they don't care not only about themselves, but anyone else.
Exactly.
At what point do you not step in when it's the fourth or fifth or 10th or 12th? I mean, we've had these cases where in Wisconsin, wasn't it in Wisconsin or was it northern Minnesota? The guy had 24 drinking and driving arrests. And you're like, okay, how is that even possible? How do you even get to that point where there's a 23rd time or a 24th time? You know, it doesn't make any sense. So
no, it's mind-boggling.
It is. Don, I appreciate you sharing. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. All my best, okay?
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Bob is in St. Paul. Let's bring on Bob here really quick. Welcome on in, Bob.
Thank you. I was listening to your commentary relative to the business of drunk driving. I've worked in the addiction field most of my life, and what we try to do is say, look, either you go to treatment or you go to jail. There are no other options, and if they decide not to go to treatment, then they go to jail, and you know, see how that goes for them. But I have seen people who were chronic alcoholics who did get well when they went through treatment and had aftercare. So that's just what I wanted to share with you.
I'm not saying that, yeah. And Bob, thank you very much. No, this is not it's a case where there's alcoholism. There is this case, and that's not. And I'll be very blunt here. I mean, as much as I've had to deal with alcoholism myself in my family, I have, and that's not an excuse, but at the same time, it is something that if the person has intent and desire to make themselves better and get there, there's a better chance of them sobering up and becoming, you know, alcohol free for the rest of their lives. That's a good thing. The problem is that there's a lot of people out there who just do not care. And, you know, this woman that got pulled over, this woman is a Tasha Schleicher. You would say to yourself, my God, the state has taken my kids away. I need to sober up. I need to clean up. I need to get my life better. I need to solve this problem. And she can't. And there doesn't, and I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand that. I understand alcoholism, it ravages the brain, does these things. It's your kids. And yeah. How many times, how many drunk, what was the list of states again here? Let me see if I can find this here. Drunk driving arrests in Kentucky, Wisconsin, Indiana, California, Oregon, and Minnesota. A warrants out in three states, Nebraska, Idaho, and Oregon. Nebraska and Idaho had not been mentioned earlier, so I'm guessing there's other issues there. You get in the car, just drive, find a liquor store, get drunk, get back in the car, drive. I, at what point do we say to ourselves, you know, enough's enough? And we, you know, it's either you sober up or you're not getting out. And it's one of the two. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break, and we'll come on back. We'll get back to the Pawlenty story. Also take some more phone calls. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Thursday on the Mike McEntee Show, education. Why are teachers going on strike in red states, but not in blue states, at least so far? We'll get the national overview from Mother Jones Magazine and the local perspective from the president of the Minnesota Teachers Union, Education Minnesota. Could it be that because Minnesota has a teachers union, we have fewer strikes? That's Thursday, starting at 4 p.m. on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Jeff Warner here for Warner Stellion to share my latest attempt to help you break up with your tired, inefficient appliances. Replace them at Warner Stellion and get our guaranteed lowest price on beautiful, new, super efficient ones, plus a $50 trade-in rebate for every replaced appliance. And we'll also toss in free delivery and basic installation from our trusted specialists and 18-month no-interest financing. We can only afford to make this offer for a very short time. So choose Warner Stellion and save on incredible new appliances today.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ plus is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ plus person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, a chance of rain and snow, mainly after 4 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 36. Tonight, a 30% chance of precipitation, with lows around 17. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 25. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 11. Eat Local Minnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte, a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salad, sandwiches, and soup, all with no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. Find them on Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hey, thanks, Todd Collett. Todd is a listener of the station. He lives in Spain now, listens to us via the World Wide Web, and wanted to help sponsor the station. He basically is sponsoring AM 950, and you can too. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 is the phone number. Find out how you can do that. And by the way, it should mention, Todd's band is Just Folk. They have released a brand new video. I have posted it up on social media on the Twitter page, at Matt McNeil Show, and on the Facebook page, Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. You can find it, links there for Just Folk's latest video. And thanks once again, Todd, for sponsoring AM 950. 952-946-6205. Rick is in Wright County and giving us a call today. Thanks for holding, Rick. Welcome on in.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
All right, sir.
I don't want to make this more depressing than it was, but I was a police officer 14 years, 7 months, and 19 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably arrested 1,000 people. Yeah. I mean, it was like shooting fish in the barrel. You weren't even looking for them. They're all over the place. Sometimes it was 3 in one night. You'd be avoiding them, trying to avoid collisions.
You know,
so,
Rick, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something really quick, because this is something I've heard from other police officers. They've said that what scares them most of all is realizing, you know, even with the 4 or 5 guys you might get on a Friday or a Saturday night, that this is just the tip of the iceberg, that there is actually a heck of a lot more. Did that ever cross your mind when you're out there? You're like, oh, my God, how many people are actually doing this and getting away with it?
Absolutely. And people that are driving at night, I tell you, you got to really be watching it, because head-on collision, all it takes is a second. Yeah. So you got to be looking out for the drunk drivers when you're driving at night. Because, yeah, it's epidemic, and in the end, I was like thinking, well, even if they made a death penalty for it, I bet you'd still be arresting people for it. I mean, it's unbelievable, one after another.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, when we, you know, and once again, there are the cases, the first time, second time, stuff like that. When we get to these cases like this one out of New Hope, and it's the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th time, at what point, what do you think? I mean, as someone that was in law enforcement, what do you think should be, should it be, you know, you're going in, you're either sobering up or you're not coming out. It's the one of the two options. And is that really where we have to go with the people that just basically cannot stop themselves? This woman had children, they're gone, and she still can't stop herself from drinking open bottle in a car in Illinois.
Yeah, it's a terrible disease. And I'm, believe it or not, I'm not a big fan of prison, because, you know, I always think, well, lock them up at night, you got a job, and or until you have a job, you go to your job, and then you get locked up at night, and that's it. And I don't know the answer for it. I mean, no. It's a terrible disease, and unfortunately, there's a lot of victims, and it ends up being her own children. I don't think that there's anything you're going to do that's going to get through to her.
No, I agree with you, and I think that's the point of this point. And Rick, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call, and I also appreciate you as law enforcement there. Now, what answer do you have? I mean, obviously, people like Dawn are going to want far harsher, stringent, you know, penalties because of the personal circumstance there. And can you blame her, for goodness sakes? No, of course not. She has a very an incredibly legitimate argument about that. An incredibly legitimate argument that, from her perspective, these penalties should be a heck of a lot harsher. You are going to get people out there that are going to say, you know, it's a disease. You know, do you, what do you do? What I don't like is the situation where someone, say this woman gets out of jail in Illinois and she does exactly like Rick just said and plows into another car, kills 5 people. What's the first thing we're going to say is, well, why didn't someone get her off the road? Why wasn't she in jail? And you want to know the truth? It's a legit question. It's a legit question. I mean, it is. And, you know, you can say at that point, now we're really going to take it serious, but it doesn't do anything for the people that were killed or their family members who have to mourn them. All right, 952-946-6205. I might take a few more calls coming on out here and just a little bit here on that issue, but I want to get back to Tim Pawlenty. Once again, according to CNBC, Republican Tim Pawlenty going to officially declare his run for Minnesota governor, making him the latest high-profile business executive to make a push for political office, according to sources with direct knowledge to the matter. Pawlenty is expected to announce his run Thursday afternoon, according to sources who declined to be named. Pawlenty, who has already served two terms as Minnesota's governor, will be trying to flip a seat that's been held by Democratic incumbent Mark Dayton for the past 7 years. Dayton is running for a third term. A spokesman for Pawlenty declined to comment, while the spokeswoman person for Dayton did not return calls for comment about the time of the publication. In February, Pawlenty resigned his role of CEO of the Financial Services Roundtable, a powerful lobbying organization that works with some of the top Wall Street banks. Okay, let me get this right. You think after the disaster that you left this state in, before Governor Dayton had to clean up your mess, you and the Republicans, you then become a lobbyist for Wall Street big banks, and you think this is somehow going to make you more appetizing for us? Okay. Pawlenty is widely expected to run the Minnesota race. The former 2012 GOP presidential candidate brings years of political experience, name recognition, and potential donor war chest to the governor's race that was only has a few declared candidates, most of them from the state legislature. Pawlenty previously was governor of the state from 2003 to 2011. You notice they kind of don't lead with that. It should be Tim Pawlenty, a man who was governor and nearly bankrupted the state, shifted the entire education budget into a future fiscal cycle, and is generally kind of a weenie. He's decided he's going to run again. And you should actually write that in the copy. Ha, 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 ha. Just, and no, we're not joking. It's not a parody site. God, do you remember when he had Carol Molnow as the lieutenant governor become the director of the Department of Transportation? So he brings in a sugar beet farmer who hated the Twin Cities. Hated the Twin Cities. She despised the Twin Cities with the fire of a million suns. And she hated mass transportation. She couldn't stand it. But she sure as heck, she was the worst human being you could possibly have to run the Department of Transportation with the 16th largest metro area in the country located within the state. And she wanted to shut down the Crosstown Commons. Do you remember this? They were going to rebuild the Commons. I mean, it was really god-awful. It was one lane from Crosstown heading towards the east into the Commons, and you had to change lanes. It was just a nightmare, and it would constantly back up. Carol Molnow came up with the brilliant idea of shutting down the Crosstown Commons for 5 years to rebuild it and not add any more additional lanes to the Crosstown Commons. And I remember, what? You want to do what? That's dumb. No, and I mean, it was so bad that even Tim Pawlenty had to go back to her and say, you really can't do this. I remember Tim Pawlenty. Oh, I got to get the Tim Pawlenty voice out again. Hi, Tim Pawlenty. I promise more sex tapes with Tim Pawlenty a little bit later on. We did those before. Oh, my God. It is, oh, are you ready for some hot Tim Pawlenty action? Oh, let me tell you what I'm going to do to you, baby. We'll have more of those before too long. But I do want to say that this is... It is amazing to me. It just shows me as well how badly the Republicans are. There, if you are a Republican this election cycle, you're asking the question, can I hold my seat that I'm in? I mean, Neuberger, the reason why I mentioned Neuberger earlier, who ran against Amy Klobuchar, he's not going to run again. So, you know, might as well go on out, you know, do the party a favor, be a candidate against Klobuchar and get destroyed. Housley, I think, is also going to run. She's running against Tina Smith. I think Klobuchar is going to be strong enough of a victory for there that it's going to dramatically decrease the chances for the Republican to win. So I think they're trying to put Tim Pawlenty in there, but you forget it's Tim freaking Pawlenty, man. He was horrible at running the state. He left a massive budget deficit, and once again, he did one of the most reckless things any governor has ever done: a definitive budget element, the education budget. You can't, you still have to pay for schools to be in function and open, and you have to pay for the lights to be on, and you have to pay for the computers to be on, and you have to pay for the buses to be able to go to school. He took the entire education budget and just sort of said, goodbye. We'll just shift it into another cycle. There's only like five districts in the state, school districts in the state, that were able to survive that in the black. Everyone else lost money. Because Tim Pawlenty just didn't want to, because he didn't want to do what he needed to do, which was raise taxes. He had to raise taxes. He already had a massive budget deficit. Even his own party was not going to go along with more deficit spending with the education budget. So he came up with this clever idea of, we'll just shift it into a different cycle. And then he became a lobbyist for Wall Street. Oh my God. Oh. Oh, I'm just, yeah, it to me, this shows me how much trouble the Republican Party is really in and how desperate they are to try to find anything that can give them a sliver of hope. 952-946-6205. Let's run the call, shall we? Julie is in Minneapolis. She wanted to chime in on the drinking and driving topic from earlier. Hey, Julie.
Yeah, hi. This isn't why I called, but yeah, $6.5 billion in debt is what he left.
Yes, he did.
Took Dayton to help pull us up. Just a quick word about the drunk driving thing. Personally, I feel I haven't had any personal experience like that dear woman that called in. But I think at the second offense, you should lose your license for a year, and the first offense, incredibly high fine. And be a little bit more like Europe. I think they take your license away for like 5 years or something. We had a woman in my condominium building. She was a girlfriend of one of the owners, and she was completely out of control. She was pounding on doors. She was harassing this little old sweet little old lady in her 90s. She was yelling about committing suicide. I saw her walk to her car. Finally, I decided, I don't like to report people, but I got to call the police about this woman. She couldn't walk a straight line to her car, and she'd get in her car, and she'd get out. So I called the police about it, and they said, you have to see the person walking drunk, being drunk, as they enter their car, and then you can call the police. But if they're exiting their vehicle, then the police can't nab them.
Well, Julie,
got to throw that in there.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate it. The problem is this, is that we do have a lot of people who are, for lack of a better way to say it, they don't care. They don't care if you take away their license. You don't care if they take away your car. They don't care if you put them in jail. They don't care if they put them in the lockdown ward over at the hospital for a few days. The minute they get out, they're going to get liquor. And it's the chronic cases which are really kind of a major problem, because when it comes to the 60 DUI, do you really need more evidence this person is not only not doesn't care about their own life, but clearly doesn't care about anyone else's life? And what at that point should be the culpability of that individual? 952-946-6205. Vicki is in Edina. She wanted to chime in about alcoholism. Hey, Vicki.
Hi. Well, I'd just like to say that I have, I am alcoholic, but I don't ever drive anymore. I mean, I wouldn't do anything to ruin my record, and I'm not drinking. But I might, I would have the right to drive. I have a license, but I'm a little bit nervous about that. But the main thing is, you have when you're alcoholic and you have said you're addicted to alcohol, what you have to do is go to AA. And
Vicki, I think, and first of all, I'm glad you're sobered up. That's a very good thing. And thank you very much for the phone call. AA is one of the many different options that are out there for people that people do have. There's other, places and options there too. There are a lot of people. Just because you have a mistake does not mean your life is over. You can sober up. be fine. There's plenty of people. My God, I know plenty of people that don't drink. And some of those are alcoholics who just basically decided, you know, they got caught and they got into trouble. They said no more. Some of those people were alcoholics and just one day woke up and said, no, I'm done with it. There are some people I know who are just really hyper healthy. And as they've gotten older, they say, you know what? It's just extra calories I don't need. There's a lot of people I know that do not drink anymore. I think the stigma of that, even compared to when I was growing up, has changed dramatically. So it's, you know, I hope if you have a problem, I really do hope this woman sobers up, can prove that she's straightened her life out, can get her kids back, for God's sakes. But, you know, at what point do you have to give away blind faith? 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. When we come back, Robin and Kelly. I'll take your calls in that order. Robin and Kelly, hold on. I'll be with you right after the break. Your phone calls as well. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. This is never settled.
This is my theme song. What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. How do you choose an automotive repair shop? I bet you look for quality and dependability. You want someone you can trust to do the job right the first time. It saves you money and hassle because you're not coming back over and over again. My team of top-notch automotive specialists knows vehicles inside and out, and I guarantee it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. eLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week, Cafe Latte. Love that place. Victoria and Grand in St. Paul. Fantastic desserts there. Try them out. Try their great menu, too. Great place to meet up with someone. And, of course, Victorian Grand, just a great location as well. It is, you know, the Cafe Latte, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Here you go. Hi there. I'm Tim Pawlenty. And I would like for you to spank me with this edition of Beige Lovers Monthly Magazine that I happen to be on the front cover of and tell me I'm a naughty boy. And then we'll watch Shark Week if I don't get too scared. Ooh, hot sex action from Tim Pawlenty. Can't beat it. Okay. But, well, I should mention, McEntee is up with me. You remember, you know, you listen to this buffoonery that's this hour, the absolute moron fest. I mean, the host, what an idiot. But next hour, we actually have a good guy, Mike McEntee. He's actually got Pawlenty's announcements, and he's fact-checking him as he does the announcement. Make sure you stay with Mike McEntee. The Mike McEntee Show coming up right after this show on AM 950. Robin is in Fridley. Robin, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Hey there. My personal nickname for Pawlenty when he was governor was the Weasel. And I have four quick stats on Pawlenty that I got from this week's shortlist on City Pages.
Okay.
It's a $6.2 billion deficit that when he left office. $1.9 billion, which is the amount he cut from education funding to try to stem the bleeding from the budget. 50% increase in the number of Minnesotans without health insurance while he was governor.
That's right.
And 50% increase. And $2.2 million is the average salary he's been making as a Wall Street bank lobbyist since he left office.
I'm glad, Robin. Thank you so much. You reminded me, 50% of the state, the uninsured rate of the state of Minnesota, it doubled basically under Tim Pawlenty, which was atrocious. And then I also wanted to make sure I mentioned and thank you very much, Robin. Technically, did he actually move the education budget, or did he just take the funds that were set up for the education budget and use them to try to, as Robin said, stem the bad news of the deficit by basically just sort of saying, well, I didn't take money from education. I just shifted the education budget to a future fiscal cycle. Wow. Kelly is in Minneapolis, wanting to chime on in. Hey, Kelly.
Matt, I got to tell you, 18 years sober, and you're right, it is the choice of whatever you do. Anyways.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations. Congratulations.
So I don't know, and maybe you do, is Rebecca Otto, which I think she's my candidate, is she no corporate money?
I believe she has stayed away from that. I mean, obviously, the three Democratic candidates who are still running right now are Tim Walz, Rebecca Otto, and Aaron Murphy. And we had them, all three of them, at the Blue State Ball, which was just a delight. I know that Rebecca has definitely shied away from that. That's for sure.
Yeah. Right. No, she's a great woman. And what do you think about strong progressives, people who stand up and say, I'll take no corporate money. I do want universal health care. I do want my child to go to college and come out without a giant debt.
Well,
what do you feel about them?
Kelly, thank you very much. I think I'm like a lot of Democrats, where there are some things I am incredibly progressive on to the far, far left of the party, and there are some things that I'm more moderate on. I think if you can do it, if you can pull it off, if you can win the primary and win the nomination and move on to the general election, and you can pull that off, I don't think it's nearly, Bernie Sanders did show that you can raise a lot of money by staying away from corporate donations. And I think that that's something that is a template people are going to try to mimic. Whether they're going to be able to, we'll have to see. But I think that it's, getting lobbyists out of politics is a good idea. And we could start by making sure Tim Pawlenty doesn't win because he's a lobbyist. Jane is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Jane. You get the final word.
Oh, Matt, I'm so excited about Tim Pawlenty running. I can hardly stand it.
Yes.
He is so deluded to think that people won't remember what he's done for us. And all the Republicans are going to throw a whole lot of money at this race.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And he's going down. There's no way.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the money issue. They are going to throw a ton of money at this race because they feel, because it's their hope is that they can get enough interest in the governor's race to possibly help pull up the numbers in the other statewide races. Reminder, Klobuchar is running. So that's a real big hurdle for them to get over. So they have got to pour millions and millions and millions. And you know that Wall Street money is going to be coming on in here to help Pawlenty as well.
Yep. And there is no way that they're going to be able to do anything with it. But they may as well spend it here as opposed to somewhere where they really have a chance.
Yeah, get ready, Twin Cities Media. Boy, oh boy, are you about to get some real big paydays. Thank you, Jane. I appreciate it. Because they're going to be pouring money in. And trust me, they'll do like the Republicans have done nationwide. And they will pour money in. And do not think for one second that Tim Pawlenty is not calling every one of his Wall Street lobbyist buddies, every one of them, and saying, I'm going to run for governor. I need as much money as you can filter in, either into my campaign or, some of these black money sites that are going to help out possibly the Republicans. I'm not saying he's saying send the money to there, but you know that money's coming on in. So just remind all your friends of the way that Tim Pawlenty left the state. And just if I may, Tim Pawlenty's not a weasel. He's a possum because he plays dead a lot. Mike's up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.